I'm actually really excited.
No, but seriously, how are my volumes and stuff? Do I need to adjust anything? Do I need to be a little louder? Do I need to get closer to the mic?
I think you sound fine, personally, from my end.
Am I all staticky?
I think you sound pretty annoying, but that's just usual.
I love you too, buddy.
I was going to make a joke right there, like, hey, you know what else is annoying? The embrace. But,
Wow. Wow.
When I said it, when I thought about it in my head, I was like, oh, that doesn't sound good.
It wasn't so much annoying. It was just like, okay, I listened to that.
You know what? I am very tired. I'm not even going to do my usual intro. Do I have to?
What's up, everybody? This is AK. Danger, danger!
He doesn't even say, what's up, everybody? What the fuck?
What's going on, everybody?
Oh, that's what it is. Ah, made you do it.
It's your boy.
My name is AK the Extraordinaire, and today we are back for another episode of the Plotcast, and I'm here with my two co-hosts, Grumpy Gus and Ori. What's going on?
You gotta say it with that weird, like, inflection on Plotcast.
The Plotcast?
No, I was talking to Ori. If he's going to try to emulate you, he has to say it with the weird inflection on Plotcast.
All right, Ori, you do the intro.
Plotcast? What? Why am I doing the intro?
Because you want to be me, and I'll be you.
I don't.
Okay. Well, with that being said, in true Plotcast fashion, Ori, tell us what the embrace is about.
Wait, we didn't even say that we're going to be talking about it yet.
Oh.
What are we reviewing today, boys?
The embrace.
Wow. That was harmonious.
What is the second section, the second part of the title?
I believe it's Knights on Killer Mountain.
Yes. You never would have guessed listening to it.
The Embrace. Knights on Killer Mountain.
So, Ori, in 25 words or less.
25 words or less.
Tell us what The Embrace is about.
The Embrace, Knights on Killer Mountain. I'm counting on my fingers while I'm saying this. Part of the 25 words, right?
You have 25 fingers.
People climb up Nanapart Bot, a mountain in the Himalayas, and it's called Killer Mountain.
What was that first word that you said?
Nanapart Bot.
Is that
Nanapart Bot? Nanapart Bot? Nanapart Bot? Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
You have used so many more words than 25. I'm cutting you off.
But I made it entertaining, right? Gus is laughing.
If that's what you want to call it.
Hey! Stupidity can be entertaining as well.
Okay.
Here I am.
Gus, can you save Ori? Can you tell us what it's about?
It's about this group that wants to climb up this killer mountain.
Okay.
Some of them are Australian. Some of them are American, Chinese. There's a French guy in there.
So this mountain is called Killer Mountain. It's the nickname. I think I want to say it's taller than Mount Kilimanjaro, but don't quote me on that. If it's not taller, it's more deadly, which is where it gets its name from.
You never would have guessed it was taller, though.
It's got the highest death rate of any mountain that you can currently climb. And as of the time of the recording, there was no woman to ever summit it yet so far.
At night.
So Zoe wanted to be the first.
Well, there was no... So at the time of the recording, there was no woman to summit it at all. And then, right, this is an attempt to, but then actually there was someone who summited it later, but they didn't do it during winter.
Oh, that's right. It was during winter.
Right.
It wasn't night. It was winter.
Yeah, it was night.
Yeah. It's pretty much just a 1 hour podcast following this woman, Zoe, as she, attempts to summit the mountain and kind of her crew.
Okay. Can you guys imagine doing the recording for this? Like, they were just recording this as an audio drama, right?
Right.
They weren't actually on a mountain.
Yeah, correct. I'm pretty sure they didn't actually record this on the mountain.
I know, I'm just... Okay, so imagine recording this and breathing like they did the whole time. Holy fuck!
Yeah, they did. They had to breathe a lot.
I'm going up a mountain. Did you guys get it?
I did. You did sound like you were winded.
Did I act? Dude, I honestly Like, I'm not in great shape.
We know.
But if I had to do that...
I was going to say, in fairness, when are you not winded?
Did you get winded? Like doing
No, that? I'm not winded. I'm not winded right now.
Oh, okay. But,
like, you guys missed it. We took a 15-minute break so Ori could catch his breath.
We didn't. I'm not winded, but if I was doing that, like, I assume that they did this, they tried to do this all in one take. Like per person, maybe a couple takes, but just like, imagine doing that, like, for the whole recording session, like, just breathing like that. You would get winded, or you'd get lightheaded.
You would get lightheaded, yeah. There's a couple parts in How I Died that I've been working on that we've recorded where it's a lot of breathing. Either sighing or, like, yeah. I was tired after one of them.
I can really imagine.
Yeah, well, you're skinny fat.
So, like, to start off, you know, you know, right off the bat, you meet Zoe and you meet her two friends. I'm blanking on their names.
Mark.
Garth.
And Garth. And, you know, I gotta be honest, I feel like it had an idea and it really just continued to divulge from that idea. You meet characters and they come and go. So you never feel attached to anyone, including Zoe, the main character. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think the show really fell. I think ultimately, you know, as we talk about it throughout the course of this episode, we're going to find out, well, our listeners will, that this show never really had a plot or a conclusion come to it. It might have had like a central theme. It just never seemed to pan out. For me, at least.
Interesting. I disagree. I mean, I'm with Ori's whoa, whoa, whoas. I kind of disagree wholeheartedly. So, the show follows Zoe, and it's a single episode audio drama. Was it about 50 minutes total for the actual...
Yeah, for the actual dramatization.
For the actual drama, yeah. About 50 minutes long, so it's like a one-shot, and it's supposed to be like a play. It's from Nedison Playhouse, and it's, you know, the stuff that they usually do. So if you can imagine that this is being acted out on a stage, it makes a lot more sense, I think. You can kind of see the characters come and go, feel the progression of the plot, and then you understand why the ending and the peaks and valleys go the way that they do.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, we follow Zoe as she's climbing the mountain with her two pals, along with a guy back at base camp who is trying to take them up there. And right off the bat, they kind of set the tone with Zoe's history with climbing. They talk about, you know, some tragedy that she experienced and how she's different now. And I honestly liked the intro. I thought it was a pretty strong tone setter going into it.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Like, it was pretty straightforward with what they were trying to approach, which was Kid Mountain. Hey!
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think it's strong, but I agree. It set the tone.
Yeah, it's a pretty simple show. I mean, they begin to climb the mountain, and then Zoe goes up a little bit too far on their first ascent, and she ends up slipping and sliding down part of the mountain, which was kind of hard to visualize for me. I didn't really get that from the sounds.
I also didn't get that.
I think it was more hard to visualize because the sound effects for it sounded like little pebbles falling down like a knot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure how you would actually make it sound like an avalanche or something like that, but it was hard to visualize.
It wasn't like a big avalanche. It was like a mini avalanche.
Oh, is that all?
She would have been crushed, man. Like,
yeah.
A mini avalanche.
You're just casually surviving a mini avalanche.
It was like a tiny snow slide.
Mm-hmm, a snow slide. Well, she apparently gets pretty far away from her team because she ends up with one of the American teams, a guy who's up there. I think his name was Max?
Yes, I want to say.
Mark? No, it's Max. Yeah. So she slides down and then she thinks she's going to die and fall off of this. So she tries to give the American guy that she meets this little pack that she's been carrying with her. And he eventually helps her and they get off of this peak and she goes back into a cave and they talk and she explains that she has this pack from her past climbing partner who died and she's trying to bring it up to the summit with her. And then she meets back up with her group. And this is one of my parts that I particularly didn't like, is that I felt like it kind of jumped way too much time in between these. They mention when they meet back up that they're not able to continue that day, and so they go back down, and then it just says, you know, we'll have to wait a few days before trying again. And then it just kind of starts off with a different group. And you're to me, I didn't get the passage of time, especially through the first listen.
Yeah.
I actually only understood it through the second listen.
I think they had a big time problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, since you listened to it twice and you understood the time gap more the second time, can you explain that one to me? Because I listened to it once.
Yeah, so they descend after they get Zoe back. And then it is a few days before they try to summit again. And it was a pretty bad storm over those few days, and they didn't notice many other teams that were trying. Because essentially it's a big race to get to the top first. They want to try to be the first people to summit of the winter season and, you know, be famous for that.
Oh.
So
a few days did pass.
Yeah, so a few days pass. They actually descend, and then we don't see those few days. And it's not really marked very well, but then we start back out with John and his climbing partner, two more Americans, I guess a husband and a wife, who are climbing up. And that's when the time has passed, because they make notice of it later on when they find, you know, a body that's been there. And they say that there's a body that is usually in this one position, but someone had moved it and there was a second person next to it, which means that someone tried to summit on their own or with a group that eventually abandoned that person. And this was during the time where they weren't keeping an eye on the mountain. So another team had kind of snuck up there and left somebody to die.
Was it the American group that had found the guy and had left him? And then we are introduced to John? So we have... Wasn't it Max and his group, and they had found the body? And then they had...
Yeah, yep. So, yeah, Max and his group were going up with a tour guide, essentially, or Sherpa, and they discover this body who's like, you know, he's not really alive. He's in a coma. He can't breathe. Slowly dying. And they, you know, struggle with it a little bit, but then they eventually leave him and go back down because their friend is not feeling well.
Yeah.
And that's when John and his wife come in and they find the body. John and his wife have some moral dilemma where they can't just leave this person here. And so the wife decides to go back down to get help and get a search party together so that they can come back up, while John stays with the person and eventually goes back and forth with his oxygen tank in order to try to keep this guy alive. And so there was a passage of time there that we didn't see. That team went up. Yeah.
And then the next passage of time is Zoe catches up with this guy, then leaves, mm-hmm. and then comes back a certain amount of time later. And he's like, oh, you came back. Why do you have so much oxygen? Did you summit? She's like, no, I guess you're moral talking.
Whoa, okay. Well, calm down.
I think a big problem I had is that it felt like the mountain wasn't high.
Right.
They gave context, and, you know, I couldn't tell if base camp was at the base of the mountain, as the name would say, or if it was, you know, some flat piece of land midway up the mountain. I really couldn't tell, because the way that John had described his partner going down the mountain is that, you know, that a rescue team was only maybe an hour down. You know, granted, it was a heavy storm that night. So, all in all, I always felt that the mountain never was really that high to begin with. I didn't understand why it was such a big deal to get up the mountain.
Yeah, I can see that too. I think it's multiple things kind of all playing together. They do have an issue with time to where it seems like things are happening much faster. They only have that one cave where people stop, and the fact that they don't show multiple locations or multiple, like, events going up the mountain leads it to believe that it's literally just like, you step out, you go inside a cave, you step out, you're at the top.
Yeah.
There's a portal, you just have to make it there.
It just didn't feel very large, and the sound effects and things didn't really help. I mean, it's hard to portray the size of something like that, I think, through this, especially in the time frame. And this is what I said to you earlier, is that I think the time limit really hampered this show in a lot of different ways.
I just think the direction of the show with the multitude of characters didn't do it any favors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could have done, you know, the found footage style, just Zoe as she summits up the mountain, you know, maybe a team here and there, but I agree it needed a little bit, maybe an episode or two to just kind of expand on the core ideas that the show was built on. And mm-hmm. it just floundered at every step of the way. It couldn't do anything. You know,
I don't know.
The big moral dilemma of this show is, you know, you have a person. So what I got is that a lot of these climbers, they prioritize their goals over the humanity of other beings. And that was the big moral dilemma that everyone was facing, that John was, you know, questioning on Zoe, is how could she, you know, walk over this human being and just continue on to reach her goals rather than help him. But mm-hmm. by the time that you really understood that and or cared, the show was over and or late, and Zoe never really did any favors. You know, she came back and she gave a little bit of justification and she did help. But I mean, ultimately, in spoilers, you know, they eventually left him. They kind of went full circle with morality. So John, you know, figured out that you can't save everybody. I was really confused at what, when I finished the show, at what conclusion I had come to.
What it was trying to say.
What was it telling me? I didn't really learn anything. I think Zoe proposed a good argument where she said, you know, everyone's adults and everyone makes their own choices. And this person knew what they were getting themselves into, which is fine. And I agree with that. But I already knew that going in.
Mm-hmm.
So I ultimately just felt unsatisfied with what happened and what I was listening to.
I agree with you from what I listened to and felt through the first listen. I didn't feel the impact of the ending at all. I didn't feel like the moral struggle was actually there on the first listen. But when I listened to it again, I tried to like pay more attention to, because I knew when the ending was coming, you know?
Yeah.
So I tried to pay more attention to the discussion that they had prior. And Zoe meets John for the first time as she's trying to summit by herself. And she essentially says, like you said, this guy who's passed out there in a coma was an adult. He made his own decision. Like, you can't fault me for trying to continue on. You shouldn't be helping him either. And, you know, like, where is his team? That's the important part, not what we're doing. And so she tries to go up, and then, you know, she gets a what I would assume is just a few paces outside, because it didn't really do the passage of time well. And then she starts to struggle with it, talks to, you know, her base camp guy, and he says, like, this is a bad idea, you know. And then she essentially struggles with the idea of, should she go forward with this pack in order to put it at the top and honor her friend, or should she, you know, do the moral thing, or what would make her most proud of her, you know?
Quick question. Mm-hmm. Didn't the show feel more like cross-country skiing than mountain climbing?
It didn't. Yeah. I mean, with the sound effects, it didn't really get into the harshness of mountain climbing.
I expected to hear, you know, maybe some ice picks going,
pickaxes.
Yeah, some going into the mountain, you know, maybe some ropes.
The ropes and pulleys.
Really, like, really anything to add to the atmosphere of mountain climbing itself. And it never felt like that. Even when Zoe had went into the tundra by herself, it just felt like she was in, like, a vast landscape, and she was just trudging through the snow rather than climbing a mountain.
I didn't really even hear any footsteps.
Yeah.
You really heard the storm.
That's one thing. Are they hiking up this dangerous mountain? Are they actually climbing it, like, with ropes and all that stuff? Because I didn't catch them talking about any of that.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I think those effects would have definitely added to it.
I think they were definitely mountain climbing. That was 100%. Mm-hmm. But it just never felt like that.
Yeah, I could see that. And then when Zoe gets out there, she struggles with the morality of it and decides that she should go back and talk to John. And that's when she has kind of like the big monologue with him, is that he doesn't want to leave and he doesn't remember how long she's been there. And so on the second listen through, I picked up on it more, but she realizes that he's suffering from the altitude sickness.
Yes.
And he's being delusional. And she tells the story about how when she originally came up here years and years ago with her partner, they got stranded during a big storm and they were stuck in this little cove. And they eventually started trying to keep each other awake by, you know, like shoving each other and like telling jokes and talking to each other and all this. And then eventually, as time went on, they were trapped in there for quite a while. And Zoe started kind of drifting out of reality into her own world, is what she says. Mm-hmm. And so this is a metaphor, and it draws parallels to their predicament in the fact that she was with this person that she really cared about, and she still kind of drifted away from them. And it brings up the point of, you know, are we looking out for ourselves or are we looking out for other people? What does it mean to be, you know, selfish? And she drifts out, goes to her own world, completely forgets that she's with anybody. And then they eventually get rescued. And it's not until way later, after she's down off the mountain, that she even realizes that her partner is dead.
I completely forgot about that, and I absolutely remember what you're talking about.
And so this is her big impactful monologue. And it, like I said, I don't fault you at all for missing it, because it didn't feel impactful to me when I was listening to it the first time.
Yeah, no, and I do, you're right. This, I do remember the portions of altitude sickness that John was suffering from, and then the big story.
Yep.
Of how she didn't even realize that her partner had died.
And so she says that when she finds John, he feels like it's been a couple of minutes, but it's been hours. And then he's just standing there holding and spraying his oxygen, not holding it over his face or the guy in the coma. So he's not even helping him anymore. He's just kind of drifting out into his own world. And so that's the big thing, is that she says that, you know, you have to live, and that's what you have to do, is that you're a person, you live through traumatic incidents or you die. And that's essentially what they're trying to describe, I think.
Very interesting.
And so, okay, so the reason that I feel like I didn't pick up on this the first listen through was because you're not sure when it's going to end. And it does kind of end on that downward note where there is no big impactful ending. There's no, like, I honestly expected we would see them go down the mountain. I thought that was going to be the whole big, you know, climax of the story, would be that she convinced him, and then the literal falling action would be that they climbed down the mountain, it was a struggle, they survived, all this kind of stuff. Because I feel like that would have been a more concrete ending.
Yep. But no.
But the fact that, yeah, the fact that you don't see it is a pretty big letdown. In my opinion, it definitely needed it in order to round it out. However, you know, 2 points here that I wanted to make is the first, that I missed the big impactful ending through the monologue, because you're kind of expecting something else to happen, and you're just like, okay, this is just the dialogue that leads up to the big impactful thing, you know?
Yeah. No, absolutely.
And then when there isn't anything else after, it's kind of this feeling of like, oh, well, what was the significance of that conversation? And the second point that I wanted to bring up is the parallel to a play. If you're looking at play format, this is essentially how a lot of plays are structured. They've got this, you know, the dialogue is the main thing. There is no action, really, unless you're seeing like a bigger production. But if you're thinking about a smaller, like one scene style play, something like No Exit or something like that, where everyone is trapped in hell and they slowly realize that they're dead, and, you know, it ends on like that downward note of like what it means to be alive. And so this kind of was reminiscent of that for me, where they're discussing the morality of being alive and, you know, taking care of yourself and living through traumatic events. And so in play structure, it makes perfect sense that there's a big monologue where the main character, you know, essentially saves the day or rounds out the play, and then it ends on that calming note where they just kind of exit the scene. And so once I started thinking about it like that on my second listen through, I greatly enjoyed it more than I had on the first listen through.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. And I mostly agree with what you're saying, but I didn't listen to it 2 times. So when it ended, it did kind of fall off for me. I was like, oh, that was a little anticlimactic. Mm-hmm. But I do agree.
Which is ironic of a mountain climbing show.
Hey!
That is so interesting. But does the major dialogue make up for the rest of the show? And to me, even at that peak point, no pun intended, it just it couldn't make up for what had led to that point in time.
Let me ask you guys a question. Do you think it would have been better for them to, instead making it like a one-shot play, like, you know, maybe several episodes and adding a little bit more character building or focus on Zoe being the main character and adding that end climb the downward climb at the end? How much better would have it made the show?
You know, hypothetically, I can say it would have been fantastic, you know, if they had built on all of those things. But, you know, that's not what it is. So it's hard to even think hypothetically of something. Because while, yes, you know, while I believe if it had those things, that it would have been much better. But at the same time, I can't truly grasp what they would sound like or what direction they would go in because they're not real.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I did like the acting for this. I liked the sound effects enough, at least in terms of the atmosphere, not really the movement and action. But I mean, the quality was good of everything. So in theory, if they had kind of built it out in a different structure, I could see it being effective. I think that just wasn't the goal here. I think the goal was to try to make... to take a literal stage acted play, record it, and put it out as an audio drama.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And then realistically, I mean, them being on the snowy mountain and all, they're talking at fairly normal levels. There was times where they were kind of split apart and they weren't so close together and they were talking at normal levels. And for them to actually hear each other with the wind and the gusts and all that stuff going around, like they would have had to have been yelling. And, you know, that could have caused an avalanche, so that's not good. Like, so it's a little, it's slightly unrealistic, but, you know, I've never climbed a giant snowy mountain.
Yeah, it's the suspension of disbelief with all fiction, really.
I don't know what I was looking for going into it. Probably nothing. But philosophically, it didn't give me enough to work with for me to think about it. Once it concluded, while I think morality is very interesting, and the monologue that she had said and that you had brought up was interesting and had at least a little bit of depth to it. Just ultimately, you know, I like to think, you know, after I listened to some of these shows, and it just really just didn't do it for me. It was a little, you know, outside of that, it just felt a little one dimensional. And I mean, like you had said, you know, it sound like a one scene, set play. So that could put tension.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting to think about this format. You know, we always talk about like radio plays as the older version of audio dramas or like an alternate name for them. But it really is a completely different medium that, you know, has different sets of rules that we at least have stumbled across through putting this show together, you know?
Yeah. You know, even if it was a little longer in scope, not even episodic, just maybe another half an hour, maybe if they split it up in some sort of scene, that maybe that would have helped it out a little bit instead of just like completely gutting what it is and adding episodes. They just kind of expanded on it.
Yeah, I don't think you need to drastically change it in order to make it something that would feel more like a full fleshed out audio drama. I agree with you. Another half an hour or so of the descent down the mountain would be really... I just feel like it would be impactful. I feel like we're missing out on some of the most important scenes.
Yeah. 100%.
And so, like, for a play, yeah, you don't want to have people climbing down a mountain for 30 minutes. But in audio, I think it kind of lends itself more towards movement, which is really weird to say, I think. But, you know, those dialogue mixed with struggle moments would have been really powerful. Because, you know, Zoe is giving up so much by helping this random dude that she doesn't know get down off the mountain instead of summoning with the partner that she promised she would take to the top. And she would be famous.
Yeah, she would be.
And they were only 100 to 200 more meters away. So it's like, it's very close.
Yeah, again, you know, I know I touched on it before. Really had a problem with the whole distance aspect. I know they had said that, you know, 100 to 200 meters is a lot farther in a storm than it actually appears to be. But when you put that in comparison to how long they had suggested that it takes to get down to at least base camp, which I'm saying is on the bottom of the mountain, you know, it really just sounds like it's like the height of like three of my houses. It just doesn't feel realistic and or,
you know, at 8,000 feet, climbing three of your houses would still be pretty tough.
I just don't understand how you traverse, you know, what is it, like 7,800 feet in an hour? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they said it was, what?
A snowboard, straight down.
Snowboard, straight down. Why don't you just jump off the side of the mountain?
Skydiving.
It's the fastest way to get down. Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's really hard to put together something of that, like the scope of this, or the size of what this could be, in the time frame. And like I said, I think the time frame really does it in. If you were to completely redo this show, slow it down, you know, give us the preparing for the climb, the first failure, going back down, you know, everything, just slow bites, with the same quality and finesse that they put into some of this, plus some additional sound effects, I think you're looking at what would be a very impactful, action-filled audio drama, which is different than what, you know, they set out for this one. And I don't think it was bad. I think the problem with it is that we don't think much of it after you're done listening to it.
Yeah. Little one note.
Because I think it could be really impactful. I think they went into this wanting you to think about morality and the struggle and what it means to, you know, be selfish afterwards. And I think because of how short this is, you don't really feel that impact, and the lesson doesn't stick with you at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, I can completely get behind that.
I can also agree.
Did you guys have any more thoughts?
No, not really.
Somebody else have some thoughts.
Like I said, like when I finished the show, I just, you know, I was like, okay, I listened to that, meh. Like, it was decent. Like, it wasn't bad by any means, but it just...
We've listened to some bad stuff,
too. Yeah, we've listened to some really bad stuff. So, I mean, we can kind of scope that one out. We've listened to really good stuff. So this was kind of in between. It was short. It was easy to listen to, but ultimately, it was just a different tone, a different set, if you know what I mean. It didn't feel extremely impactful. It's not something that I'm going to remember later than like a few weeks, maybe a month at most. Like, I'll remember that I listened to it, but I'll be like, I don't know any of the characters' names. I don't know this. I don't know details. I know that they climbed up a mountain.
I think the messaging is just lost. I think that's the important part, is that there's no message that sticks with you because of you're not attached to the characters. You don't have the time to get invested in the story.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
I'm just trying to think, like, if you went to see this as a play, I could see you walking away from it after an hour at the theater being like, oh, that was really good.
Yeah.
But I think it's just a different medium and what we've become accustomed to in terms of audio.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
So, AK, let me ask you now. Sure. Now that I've kind of explained my thinking about this, What do you think about it? Did it change how you're feeling?
No.
No. Care to elaborate?
You touched on it. The messaging really gets lost, you know, as you listen throughout the show. And I really think that you do come out of it and you are, you know, outside of the main monologue, you are a little lost about what had happened prior, why you're meeting all these characters, what's going on. I'd rather that the show just focus on Zoe and then you meet John at the very top. She can have her team and they can be supporting characters. But even the usage of the pouch and the friend really didn't give me any sort of emotional attachment to Zoe. And when it was all said and done, I just found it to be very forgettable and really not giving a satisfying ending, conclusion, or plot.
I thought she sounded like a cute Australian chick.
Yeah, I'm sure that she was cute, and she was probably jacked because she was, you know, mountain climbing, and that, you know, that's great and all. But I don't know what I'm trying to say without repeating myself again.
I wonder if it's because we never climbed a mountain. We're hard to relate to.
I watched a mountain climbing documentary. It was
So
I watched Jimmy Chin and his crew. They climbed this mountain and. Nepal? No, that's where Mount Everest is. Oh, hold on. Let me look it up.
Watching something and actually doing it, that was completely different.
Debatable.
No, not debatable. Because
pretty debatable. I've seen House. I could be a doctor.
I agree with that.
God damn it.
Diagnostician.
Oh, no, you can't.
Okay, so...
It's definitely not lupus. It's all
the so Jimmy Chin and the crew they have climbed Meru, which is in the Indian Himalayas. And wait, I don't even know where I'm going with this.
You're trying to explain how you feel like you can understand how something happens.
But I just feel like I'm repeating myself again because, you know, obviously a realistic documentary of actual mountain climbing is going to surpass anything that this show was trying to convey. So
if you're go ahead.
So, it, ultimately I think we can all say it. It wasn't even about mountain climbing. Right. That was just what had happened. You could have put anything
in the vehicle.
And with this, you could have had, I don't know. The dude was starving. And you could have replaced the setting.
Like on the street?
You could have replaced the setting with really anything.
It's a vehicle for the message.
Yes. But at the end of the day, if I miss the messaging, then does it really leave an impact?
See, I think if you tried to cram a full documentary into 50 minutes of mountain climbing, you would still walk away with the same feeling of like, that didn't seem very hard. They only went up for like 5 minutes and then came back down.
Let me ask you a question.
You know?
Should I have missed that messaging?
No, absolutely not. It was literally probably why this show was made.
Exactly.
I'm 100% agreeing with you. I think the message gets lost because of the format.
You're an adult. Take responsibility for your actions.
No, the problem is that... Okay, I'm just going to say it. The Decca Tapes was one of those shows, yes, it's chaotic, but it left you thinking at the very end. I was left this afternoon going... 14 different directions. I know, I'm sorry. Going a few different directions about the philosophies and the political landscapes and everything that the conclusion of the Decca Tapes had left me with. Mm-hmm. And it was so interesting to think about it and to create different scenarios and to come to a variety of conclusions. But with this show, the conclusion and the themes that they come to, while they're interesting and they are impactful, I think normal human beings who have any sort of morality already understand these. And while I do agree that, you know, helping out a complete stranger in a life and death situation, you would probably leave them I think that's very much understood. I just don't know what they were trying to tell us. Yes, you.
Is it you?
You help people. You know,
if they can be helped, then sure, help them. If they can't be helped, and it's just going to get you and others killed. Sorry, man. You're an adult. You have to take responsibility for yourself. You dug your own grave there. Sucks, but it's the truth. Sorry, not sorry. Everybody got $5.
I think the altitude sickness was maybe a more interesting plot point than the actual situation that came around that.
Mm-hmm.
Superpower. What if you could give people altitude sickness as a superpower?
I think you'd be more of a supervillain.
I mean,
wow.
But what if you wanted to be a hero?
I think there's a show about that.
There's a song about that.
Before my brain explodes, my name is AK the Extraordinaire.
So, with that interesting transition between this show and the Decatapes comparison, tune in next week when we review the Decatapes, where AK is the one that's really going to enjoy it, and I'm the one that's going, meh. Oh, hello there. I guess since you're here and we've stopped talking, that means the episode is over, and I should probably start doing the outro. The Plotcast was brought to you by us. Seriously. We don't have an advertiser, and we've been working hard to kind of keep it ad-free and to not have to sell you guys any Bombas socks or a website you don't really need. So if you could do us a favor, just share this show with someone who you think would enjoy it. Or go check out one of our other shows, such as How I Died, a murder mystery audio drama that we've been working on for a really long time now and is out soon. Or leave us a review on iTunes and all that good stuff. Now it's time for the credits. Our intro and outro music is from Nishkam Joshi on SoundCloud. And special thanks to our buddy Silent Mike Music for putting together our Spoiler Time song with lyrics from Shayna Waring. Check him out at silentmikemusic.com. And I think that's it. Cool. Thank you guys for listening and hope you enjoyed the Plotcast.